Catholic Answers Live, Friday the 5th. Is it the 5th, Nick Chamberlain? It is. Yeah, glory. I'm not Cy Kellett. If you couldn't guess, I'm Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for your usual joyful host, Cy Kellett, who's getting a little bit of R&R, as we used to say in the Marines today, and I'm happy to sit in for him. Coming up in our second hour, open forum for non-Catholics, non-Christians, people thinking about becoming a Catholic, atheists, anybody but pretty much a practicing Catholic can call, lapsed Catholics. And that will be with Jimmy Akin. And in our first hour, open forum for non-Catholics, non-Christians, atheists, people thinking about becoming a Catholic, pretty much anybody who's not a practicing Catholic can call with your questions. And our guest for the first hour, Jimmy Akin. So 2 hours of senior apologist at Catholic Answers, Jimmy Akin. Jimmy, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you, not Cy Kellett. It's great to be here.
It's funny that I'm welcoming you to Catholic Answers Live, of course, because you've done this show in somewhere approaching infinity more times than I have. And in fact, I think I caught, I know I did, 2 days ago, the 10,000th show.
Yeah, and, how about that?
Yeah, wonderful. In fact, I got a wonderful note from one of our trustees, Tom Carney, who was very excited about it. God bless him. And then all those well wishes that our social media man, Thomas Graff, shared with the whole staff. It's just great to see how many people have been touched by this program. But I think it was Cy observed that you, as a guest, have probably done more of these shows than anyone.
I haven't done the math, but over the years, just because of the number of years I've been here, I think that's right. I know I was on the very first show.
Well, what some people may not know, of course, because they're not familiar with the fullness of the internal operations of the office here at Catholic Answers, is you now have the honor of being the employee of longest standing at Catholic Answers. Is that correct? Or no, wait, it's Jen.
Right.
Wait, is it Jen Phelps or is it you?
It's me.
Oh, it's you.
Me.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not just I'm not just senior apologist. I'm the senior employee.
You have been here longer than anyone because Maureen North, who ran, who helped in the development office and ran all our cruises for so many years, has retired. So you're the man of longest standing.
Yeah, but Jen is the woman of longest standing.
She is, and that actually is Maureen North's daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should put an org chart up on the Facebook page so people know what we're talking about. Jimmy, I was this morning looking at the new issue of Catholic Answers magazine, which just came out, and you have a piece in there that I read and appreciated very much. Particularly the sidebar, and I'll come to that in a second, but your piece was arguing that it's reasonable to believe in God, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this article, which I've had quite a number of people compliment, is actually an excerpt from my new book, The Words of Eternal Life. And that book is designed to be, it's very short. It's something you can give to anybody. It's designed to be read by people, even if they have no religious background at all. And so to keep away from jargon and to keep it accessible to everybody, I tried to say, okay, how can I formulate some arguments for God's existence in the simplest terms possible, while still having some real content there?
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH to get on the phone today, Catholic Answers Live, with Jimmy Akin, Chris Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Our topic today, open forum for non-Catholics.
That could be anything, just, you know, it could be questions about the Catholic faith or the Christian faith or God in general. It could be moral questions, biblical questions, ritual questions, or as Cy says, when I'm here, it could be basically any question except sports.
Right. Do non-Catholics play sports? Sure they do.
They do, but I don't know anything about sports. But it could be like scientific questions. You know, I love talking about science, historical questions.
Actually, Jimmy, you do know something about sports. I think you were shortly after I met you, you said that you felt that hockey was the one game you probably couldn't fix.
I have no memory of saying that.
Do you remember saying that? You see, yeah, that...
No, this could be an example of the Mandela effect.
Oh, what is that?
The Mandela effect is a reported phenomenon that occurs when people are absolutely sure they remember something, but it turns out not to be true in their current timeline. And so the hypothesis is that people, without realizing it, are subtly slipping between dimensions that have slightly different histories.
Oh, well, that may account for why I think you said that hockey was the... Of course, that's a reasonable thing to say, that you can't fix hockey.
Well, I suppose so, but you could have encountered an alternate Jimmy Akin who knew something about hockey.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, to get on the phone and ask your question. So, Jimmy, in your piece about why belief in God is reasonable, there is a little section, actually a sidebar in the piece, that talks about the night sky.
Olber's paradox.
What is it called again?
Olber's paradox.
Yes, and how we see the night sky is evidence that the universe has not always existed.
Correct. Back before the 20th century, the standard view among astronomers, or at least a very common view among astronomers, was that we're in the middle of infinite space and that it's filled with infinite stars on all sides of us. And if that's the case, and also that the universe is infinitely old. And if that's the case, if we're surrounded on all sides by stars, and if those stars have had infinite time for their light to reach us, then the entire night sky should be blazing like the surface of the sun. It should not be dark. And this was pointed out by various people, most famously a German astronomer named Olbers, which is why it's called Olbers paradox, because logic would tell you in this kind of universe that they were assuming we're in, the night sky should not be dark, and yet it is. So in the 20th century, we found out the reason for that. It's that the universe is not infinitely old. And so even though there are stars and galaxies on all sides of us, the universe hasn't been around forever, and not all of their light has reached us, and that's why the night sky can be dark. And this gives us a premise in an argument for the existence of God, the fact that the universe does have a beginning. And as a result, it needs an explanation for that beginning. And God is, you know, the proposed explanation for that beginning.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. I'm holding up here a copy of Catholic Answers Magazine, Why Belief in God is Reasonable, where you can read Jimmy's article that he was just describing, including that business about the night sky that's called whose paradox again?
Olber's paradox,
which is a chapter from also this book that Jimmy just did, Words of Eternal Life, which is a book, by the way, my friends, that I recommend to you. A lot of our friends, maybe fellow parishioners, fellow Christians in the age of the pandemic here have been away from church. And let's be very frank, a lot of people are not coming back to church and need to be. And this wonderful little book that Jimmy has put together is exactly the kind of things that is the, exactly the kind of thing that incentive for them to read to get back to church. And that's one of the reasons we put it together. Jimmy, I think we're going to try to take one call here before we go to the break. Let's go to Rob in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Rob, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, yes. You might have explained it with your Olber effect, but talking about stars, the speed of light, we're told these stars are millions of miles away and billions of light years. And so I believe God created the light, but when he created it, did he create it in a different time and space, or how does that work?
Okay. Well, according to the current scientific understanding, originally all of the matter and energy in our universe was concentrated in a hot, dense state, and then it began expanding. And at first it expanded tremendously fast, and then the expansion rate slowed down to more or less what it is now. And that event, that expansion, is called the Big Bang. And as the Big Bang happened, it took a while, actually, for the energy density of the universe to get down to the point that light would start shining. But eventually it did. It took actually a few hundred thousand years after the Big Bang for the universe to light up. And originally, there weren't any atoms, because atoms, you know, if they're jostling around too much, the particles within the atom won't stick to each other. But as the universe expanded, the particles weren't jostling each other as much, and so you got stable atoms, originally just hydrogen and helium, and then they formed stars. They started to clump together under gravity to form stars. And the stars are basically big hydrogen bombs. They fuse the elements of hydrogen and helium together, and when they fuse those elements together, it releases light. And that's why the stars shine, because as they're fusing elements together, they're releasing light, and that comes spilling out of the star and shining across space so that we can see it. So God did create all of this, and thus we can say, yes, God did create the light. And modern science has given us a bit of an insight into perhaps how he created the light and the different steps that it went through.
888.
Does that answer your question?
I think it does, but you're thinking tens of thousands of years, not millions of billions of years.
No, billions. The standard scientific account of how old the universe is about 13.8 billion years. So really long time ago.
Okay, Rob?
Okay.
Glory.
Hey, I appreciate it.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH to talk to Jimmy Akin. We are taking calls from non-Catholics, open forum for questions from non-Catholics, non-Christians, atheists, people thinking about becoming Catholic. Maybe you're a fallen away Catholic, something about the church you think drove you away, and let us see if we can't help you with that. Jimmy, I think that we led off with a question that absolutely does fall under the category of everything except sports.
Yeah.
We have a spring.
Everything but a sports question would.
Yes. We have a spring sale going on right now at shop.catholic.com. I know spring doesn't start officially for a couple of weeks, but Catholic Answers, we're ahead of the curve. Everything on our shop site is discounted 10 to 25% and more. Looking for an Easter or confirmation gift, something you want to give someone who is going to be joining the church at Easter in the RCIA program. Maybe you just want to load up on all the many things that Jimmy Akin had, all the books, CDs, and DVDs that he has produced. Now is your chance. Visit shop.catholic.com right back after this.
Catch Catholic Answers live anytime at catholic.com.
Hi, this is Cy. Catholic Answers Focus is our podcast, and it's meant to help you live, understand, and defend your Catholic faith. And it's fun because we get to drill down on one topic for each episode with someone who really knows their stuff. This week, for example, we have an episode with Chris Check on the Inquisition, and we have an entire episode dedicated to sharing the faith with people who just don't seem to care about God. You can get Focus wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch it on YouTube, or you can visit our website, CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number, 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH. The show is Catholic Answers Live. Your usual host is Cy Kellett. He's getting a little rest and relaxation right now. I am Christopher Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett, my guest for this hour and for the next hour, senior apologist at Catholic Answers, Jimmy Akin. We are taking calls from non-Catholics, non-Christians, non-believers, basically anyone who is not a practicing Catholic who has a question. It can be about the Catholic faith, and it can be about cosmology, apparently, as well, Jimmy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Anything, anything as long as it's not whether or not hockey can be fixed. Let's go to Haley in Oklahoma, listening on 97.3 FM. Haley, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. I was an atheist and mm-hmm. agnostic, a mm-hmm. non-believer, turned Christian.
Glory.
And
yay.
Now am embracing the Catholic religion. I've always mm-hmm. felt at peace and at harmony inside of a Catholic church, and I felt God's presence there. So my questions, as what I believed in the past, angels and devils and ghosts, Sasquatch, flat earth, the firmament, how am I supposed to believe now that I am embracing this Catholicism so ruggedly?
Okay.
Yeah, wonderful.
Okay.
What am I?
So let's talk about those one by one. What was the first one you mentioned?
Okay. Angels and devils and
ghosts. Yeah. Kind of like lions and tigers and bears. Okay. So angels and demons and ghosts are all real. Angels are created intellects that God made, and they really do exist. They're taught in the Bible, they're taught in the church fathers, and they're taught by the church. Same thing goes for demons. They are fallen angels, and so they're just a different kind of angel. They're the bad kind. Ghost is another word for a spirit. And obviously spirits exist if angels and demons do, but also human spirits exist, and human spirits can survive the death of the body. In fact, they do survive the death of the body. And so ghosts are also real. Now, there's a question, can God allow a departed human spirit, whether it's in heaven, hell, or purgatory, to manifest in some way that the living can perceive? And the historic understanding of the church is yes. The church even teaches that God can do that for saints. But more broadly than that, Catholic theologians have recognized that other souls, whether they're in purgatory or in hell, can, on occasion, by God's permission, manifest to the living. Now, that doesn't mean that every report of a ghost is accurate. Sometimes it's just a bubble bumping around in the water pipes of an old house, or something like that. So not every report of a ghost is actually a ghost, but in principle, they do exist, and they can on occasion manifest to human beings. What was your the second category you mentioned?
Like the Yeti, Sasquatch, Loch Ness Monster.
Okay. The church doesn't have a problem with dinosaurs existing. We have a good evidence that dinosaurs have existed in the past, and some of them, namely birds, which technically do count as dinosaurs, exist today. So next time you're having some chicken salad, you can think to yourself, hey, I'm having dinosaur salad here. In terms of proposed animals that aren't known to science to exist, like Bigfoots, Yetis, or Loch Ness Monsters, the church leaves matters of science to scientists. It's not a matter of faith whether there are these unknown hairy bipeds or, plesiosaur-like creatures living in Loch Ness. that's a matter for science to figure out. So the church doesn't have a teaching on that. We do know, now, life forms of this sort are called cryptids, from kryptos, the Greek word for hidden. And there are animals that are currently hidden from science. Most of them, in fact, actually, I was doing some research on this recently, and most of the species on Earth have not yet been discovered. The reason is that many of them are really, really small, you know, like microscopic life forms, or they live in places that aren't accessible to us, like in the deep sea. We think we found most of the big ones that live on land. And so the odds of there being a stable breeding population of Sasquatches that aren't known to science, or Loch Ness monsters that aren't known to science, because you need more than one, you need a stable breeding population, and those are supposed to be big animals. Probably we would have found those, but who knows? There could be a surprise there, and that's really a matter of science, not faith. You then mentioned at least a couple more concepts. What were they?
Flat Earth, firmament, aliens.
Okay. Let's do the last one first. The church has no problem with the idea of aliens, whether extraterrestrial life in general or intelligent extraterrestrial life. We already know God created intelligent creatures other than us, namely the angels, and he could have made intelligent creatures elsewhere here in this universe that are partly physical, like we're partly physical. That, again, is a matter of science. It's not a matter of faith, and the church would say, if there are intelligent aliens, they're just more of God's children, just like us. Flat Earth and the firmament. So firmament is something I probably should explain for some folks in the audience who may not be familiar with that term. The idea is that there's sort of like a dome over the Earth, and that's what the sky is, and this is called the firmament. By the way, I want to confirm, that's how you're using the term, Haley. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah, like the dome. Yeah.
So there are these passages in Scripture that talk as if there's a firmament, and there are there's no place in the Bible that says the Earth is flat. There are some passages that you could read that way, talking about the Earth being, you know, founded upon pillars, kind of like it's a table or something. And the church has looked at those passages and said, well, you could read them that way, but it's not necessary to read them that way. They can also just be a kind of figurative description, kind of like we today, or at least most people today, will talk about the four corners of the Earth without really believing it has four corners so that it's a big square. And that's more a figure of speech. And so the church has looked at these passages in Scripture and said, these could just be figures of speeches. And so really, the question of whether the Earth is flat, or the question of whether there's a firmament of a dome over it, that's, again, a matter for science to figure out. I could go further into that, but I have a resource I'd like to recommend to you, because it covers all of these topics. On the side, I do a podcast on my own time called Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World, and we look at all of these mysteries in it. We've looked at angels and demons and ghosts and Bigfoot, and we're going to be looking at the Loch Ness Monster, and we've looked at Flat Earth.
And aliens.
In fact, and aliens, yeah. I would suggest you check out episode 68 of Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World on the Flat Earth, where I go through the biblical discussion of it, and then I also go through the scientific discussion of it. But one way or another, none of the things you've mentioned are matters of faith, and so they wouldn't preclude you from becoming a Catholic, but the church would urge, because God gave us the gift of reason, and science is a part of reason, or an application of reason, the church has a very healthy respect for science and would say, even though it's not infallible, it's something you should really take into strong consideration.
Haley, what part of Oklahoma do you live in?
I live in the southwest part of Oklahoma, in a town called Anadarko.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
It's a little bit of a drive for you. It's closer to the Tulsa side of things. But if you're ever over that way, not far, maybe an hour from Tulsa, there's a beautiful Benedictine monastery called Clear Creek Monastery. You can find them if you look for them online. And it's a new monastery, but it's built in the beautiful old basilica style. And if you're ever over in that part of the state, I recommend paying them a visit. You can listen to the monks sing the office there, and you'll find it. It'll bring you a lot of peace. I thought of that because you began your question for Jimmy when you said how you feel very much at peace when you are inside a Catholic church. And I know that you will very much have that feeling if you visit the monks at Clear Creek Monastery.
Wonderful. Yes, I'll make that my birthday trip.
There you go. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. 888-31-TRUTH. The show is Catholic Answers Live. I'm Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Open forum for non-Catholics. My guest is Jimmy Akin, and we will be right back after this.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Is there such a thing as adult bullying?
There certainly is.
We'll talk about that Monday on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
We now return to Catholic Answers Live.
Truth. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett, Catholic Answers Live. Open forum for non-Catholics. My guest is Jimmy Akin. Jimmy, I started telling you at the break, I was talking to an old friend of mine from my Rockford, Illinois days who runs a school in the Chesterton Academy Network founded by our friend Dale Alquist, and they're having a fundraiser I'm going to go help him with at the end of April. His name is Lou. And he said to me, do you know Jimmy Akin? Do you ever get to talk to Jimmy Akin? And I said, well, yeah, every now and then I do. And so he said, well, tell him I can't wait for the episode 2 on UFOs, which you said just dropped today.
Oh, yeah. So last week on Mysterious World, we started telling the story of a New Mexico scientist and inventor back in the 1980s named Paul Benowitz, who lived right next to Kirtland Air Force Base and became convinced he had evidence of a slow alien invasion that was coming. And he told the Air Force about it, and they were very interested, and they helped him continue his studies, and he eventually developed a battle plan called Project Beta that he sent to President Ronald Reagan as commander-in-chief, urging action. And so we led up last week to kind of a cliffhanger with all the things that were happening with Paul in the Air Force. And then this week, we tell you the other side of the story, what happened with Project Beta. Was there a secret alien invasion that was quashed in the 1980s? What role did Delta Force play in all of this? And what terrible price did Paul Benowitz end up paying?
Oh, so dear.
That's now out there for your friend.
Isn't there some YouTube personality recently who was making a lot of hay talking about Project Beta during the Trump administration or near the final days of the Trump administration? Or maybe I'm confused.
That I'm not familiar with. Yeah. But Project Beta is a sort of a 1980s thing.
Okay. 888-318-7884. Maybe we're going to get a question about scripture or theology sometime.
Sure.
Today. We'll see. Let's go to Mike in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mike, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
So you had mentioned that it was for non-Catholics or people who were inquiring about maybe getting into the faith or even those who had maybe fallen away from it.
Yes.
My question to you is, since I would say that I'm somewhere in between, I haven't been to Mass since March 28th of last year. Something that's kind of been troubling me that's kind of got me in this weird middle ground is that I keep getting differentiating teachings that to be of the Catholic Church and to go and to observe or participate in other churches that are not the Catholic Church is either a venial or mortal sin. And so in trying to share and be an ambassador sort of the church, I'm getting mixed teachings that I can't go and that I can, or that I can watch or I can't watch and I can't participate and even can't have Bible studies, whatnot, with people of Baptists or Lutherans of whatnot. And it's really kind of got me torn on how to worship and love God as a sort of fallen away Catholic, given that I don't want to fall into the venial or mortal sin from what I'm being taught from different theologians and different priests. Can you kind of help me figure out how to get around?
We can't help you. Before I turn you over to Jimmy, Mike, before you sign off today, give the call screener your address. I'm going to send you a copy of Jimmy's new book, The Words of Eternal Life. Jimmy, how can we help Mike?
So I haven't heard exactly what he's been encountering, but it sounds to me like it may be based in part on a former discipline that the Catholic Church had. After the time of the Protestant Reformation in particular, because the Reformation introduced so many ideas that were at variance with the Catholic faith, the Church wanted to protect the faithful from being led astray. And so it did have a discipline that said, you know, you shouldn't, unless you had a really, really, really strong good reason, you shouldn't go to Protestant churches and you shouldn't participate in their prayers and things like that. And this was a legal matter, so there could be a sin if you were breaking the law without a good reason. But subsequent to that, you know, there has been a lot of reconciliation between the Catholic Church and other churches, including Protestant churches, and we understand each other better now, and the Church has shifted to a position of what you could call positive engagement, where we want to work together with our non-Catholic friends, you know, our separated brethren. There's a greater awareness that they are our brothers in Christ. And so there's no prohibition today at all on attending a Protestant church or Bible study or anything like that. You do still need to, as a Catholic, do your own obligations as a Catholic. You need to attend Mass on Sundays or holy days or the evening before a Sunday or a holy day. So you do need to do that. You need to practice your Catholic faith. But if, in addition to that, you want to go and visit a non-Catholic church, you certainly can do that. You can participate in the prayers as long as they're not praying something contrary to the Catholic faith. You can participate in Bible studies as long as you're exercising critical thinking skills to recognize when something is or is not in accord with the Catholic faith. So you want to know your faith and you want to be true to your faith, but you can also be open and generous and interact and cooperate with people who don't happen to be Catholic but are part of the broader Christian community. And that's not a sin. The church has, in fact, various documents that that deal with this. One of them you could look up. It's available on the Vatican's website for free. It's right there online. It's called the Principles and Norms for Ecumenism. Ecumenism is the word for intra-Christian cooperation and dialogue. And so if you looked up the principles and norms for ecumenism, also sometimes called the directory for ecumenism, it'll describe the church's attitude toward the kind of interaction that we can and we should have with our non-Catholic friends.
How's that, Mike?
That's fantastic. In regards to what he had said, as far as participating in prayers, my curiosity then would, in summation to of my question is, in differentiating from the Eucharist, which we participate in the Catholic Church, there have been some churches that I've gone to where they bring out things that are either wine or grape juice or bread that's unleavened, and they go through what seems to be a mass, but it is not actually the Eucharist. Would there be any sin in my participating in that act of symbolism, even though it is not in fact the Eucharist?
You should avoid that. Now, some non-Catholic churches have a valid Eucharist. This is the case in the Eastern Orthodox churches, or in the Coptic Church, or in the Assyrian Church of the East. They have a valid Eucharist, and there are situations, particularly if you don't have access to a Catholic priest, where you can receive the Eucharist and even confession and the anointing of the sick in one of these churches where the sacraments are valid. In the Protestant community, though, unfortunately, they lost a valid priesthood at the time of the Reformation, and so their sacrament of the altar, or the Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist, is not valid. And so because it's not valid, Catholics should refrain from receiving it, even understanding it symbolically, because it'll create confusion about what we believe about the Eucharist, both our Eucharist and their equivalent of it.
Okay, Mike?
You guys have been absolutely helpful, and I can't tell you the kind of relief you've given my spirit in knowing that I'm not in error of potentially falling into either mortal sin or venial sin for trying to be an ambassador of the Catholic faith with our fallen away brothers. It's a weight that's lifted off, so I thank you for that.
Oh, praise God. Glad we're able to help. Keep us in your prayers, Mike, and you are in ours.
And as part of being an ambassador for the church, you want to make sure you understand church teaching. So a good exercise might be, you know, over the next year or so, read the entire Catechism of the Catholic Church, and that'll give you a thorough background and grounding in the faith so you can represent it properly to other folks, and also have the critical thinking skills to discern when something is or isn't compatible with the faith.
Another resource I would recommend to you, Mike, Jimmy Akin's book, A Daily Defense. It's really I want to say almost painless. I mean, you have to put a little effort into it. I don't think it's painful. There's no pain involved. It's enjoyable to read. One lesson a day in Catholic apologetics. And if you are making a deliberate effort to get out there among our separated brethren, having a resource like this and reading one section a day for 365 days, because there is one built in there, right, for the leap year, Jimmy?
Yep. Yeah. Yes, there is.
Yeah, so Mike, grab a copy of that as well. All right, let's go to Stephen in Henderson, Nevada. Watching on YouTube. Stephen, thank you for watching on YouTube. What's your question?
Hello. So, my question would be, so earlier this week, I had a discussion with a Protestant. He said that the early church was the Catholic Church, lowercase, and not the Roman Catholic Church that we see today. How would you guys respond to that?
Well, the Roman Catholic Church, technically speaking, is not the entire Catholic Church. It's just what's known as the Latin Rite of the Catholic Church. But there are other Catholics who are fully in union with the Pope, like Maronite Catholics, Melkite Catholics, Chaldean Catholics. And so the Catholic Church is not the same thing as the Roman Catholic Church. It's broader than that. But all Catholics are in union with the Pope, and they have a common set of teachings that do go all the way back to Jesus Christ. And if you study the early church, you'll find that. You'll find that they believed in the Eucharist, in the real presence, in the need to be baptized in order to receive God's grace. They prayed to the saints. They had the same beliefs. They may not have expressed them in exactly the same way because language changes over time, but they had the same beliefs that are distinctive to the Catholic Church today, including things like purgatory. I, in fact, wrote a whole book about this. It's called The Fathers Know Best. And if you look that up, it has like almost 50 topics where I walk you through the quotations from the church fathers by topic. So you can see, okay, what did they say about the real presence? What did they say about purgatory? What did they say about baptism? And I demonstrate that Catholic beliefs have always been present in the church. And the idea that the early church taught something radically different than the Catholic Church is simply not true.
Stephen, we did a conference at Catholic Answers, I think, in 2019, in fact, that was called The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. And if you go to shop.catholic.com, you can download the MP3s of, I think there were, I don't know, 8 or 9 lectures. And then in addition to Jimmy's book, The Fathers Know Best, we have a 20 Answers booklet on the early church. And our friend Rod Bennett wrote a book called The Apostasy That Wasn't, that walks through a lot of the history that shows there's been a consistent line from the early church to the Catholic Church today. Jimmy, we've had a lot of questions about mysterious things on this hour. And of course, the Book of Revelation might be the most mysterious, or to some people, most mysterious book in the Bible. And at shop.catholic.com right now, if you look at the top of the page, there is a button to push, and you can download a free ebook called Understanding the Book of Revelation. You've probably got something contributed into that ebook, don't you, Jimmy?
I have no idea. They didn't ask me.
So they assembled these books based on stuff that the apologists have written. So shop.catholic.com, there's a button at the top. Get a free book explaining the Book of Revelation. Right back after this.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Eight 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 318-7884. 888-318-7884. The show is Catholic Answers Live. I am Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for Cy Kellett, who's getting a little rest and relaxation. Our topic this hour, open forum for non-Catholics. non-Christians, non-believers, lapsed Catholics. There's something about the Catholic Church that you don't understand, and we want to help you understand it. Maybe something keeping you away, and we'd like to move that obstacle out of the way if we can. 888-318-7884. My guest, Jimmy Akin, senior apologist at Catholic Answers and host of the, did you tell me, you said you're in the top 25 podcast?
Oh, yeah. Documentary podcast on Apple Podcasts. Mysterious World is consistently in the top 25 documentary podcasts.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
888-318-7884. Let's go to Mickey in Oklahoma City. Mickey, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
For sure.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was raised Catholic, and I'm now an evangelical Christian. And I was wondering, you know, do y'all say that, well, I don't know if I have this all right, but y'all believe that people go to purgatory instead of going straight to heaven, right?
Often.
And, right?
Often they do, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, the ones that would go to purgatory, I was wondering why y'all believe that they wouldn't go straight to heaven when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, when he said that you would be with me in paradise today. And also he told him that, let's see, what else? Oh, when it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Okay. So let's deal with the second one first. Actually, Paul never says that. This is something that's out there, and you'll hear various Protestant preachers and apologists saying that Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so I know that's kind of a meme out there in some Protestant circles, but it's actually not at all what Paul says. What Paul says is, I would rather be away from the body and be at home with the Lord. But he doesn't say to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. If you think about it, being away from one thing and being at another thing doesn't mean they're instantaneous. It doesn't mean it's an instantaneous transition. I could say, I would rather be away from the office and at home with my wife and kids. But that doesn't mean I don't have a commute that occurs between leaving the office and being at home with my wife and kids. This isn't the 24th century. We don't have a transporter that will get me there instantaneously. So just because Paul says, I'd rather be not in my body and be up in heaven with Jesus, doesn't mean that there's no transition between those two. Similarly, we don't know how time works in the afterlife. And so from an earthly perspective, the transition, it could be instantaneous. It could happen in a twinkling of an eye, like it will for the people who are alive at Jesus's second coming. They're going to be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. And the same thing could happen to us when we die. In fact, Pope Benedict XVI, who was the Pope before the current one, he said that we can't calculate the length of purgatory in earthly time. It just is something we cannot calculate. So it could be just a flash. It could be something longer than that. We don't know. We have to leave that in God's hands. Also, and so that also could explain the thief on the cross. But there are, you know, because he says, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. And the way that's sometimes taken is Jesus is saying, I'm telling you, today you will be with me in paradise. And the today describes when he's going to be in paradise. Well, if purgatory has a very short duration, he might be in paradise that very day. On the other hand, the thief on the cross may have so repented of his sins that he could be one of those people who goes straight to heaven. Or there's another possibility, which is the word today may not be describing when he's going to be in paradise. There's no punctuation in the Greek, and that's something that, you know, translators have to add. But Jesus can be also equally understood as saying, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. So the today modifies when Jesus is saying this as a kind of emphasis. It's like, I'm telling you right now, you will be with me in paradise. So there are a number of ways from a Catholic perspective of understanding the thief on the cross. Really, I don't think Protestants and Catholics are as far apart on purgatory as they tend to assume. We all agree that God forgives us in this life, but then he purifies us over the course of the Christian life so that we become holier. We learn how to resist sin. We cooperate more with God's grace. And that process in Protestant circles and in Catholic circles is often called sanctification. But for most people, we're not fully sanctified by the time we die. We're not perfectly holy, but we know that we will be perfectly holy when we're in God's presence in heaven, because there's not going to be any sinning in heaven. We're not going to still be sinners there the way we are now. And so between the time you die, assuming you're not fully purified, and the time you're in glory in God's presence in heaven, you need a final rush of sanctification to purify you fully so that you can be in God's presence. And so between death and glory, there must come a purification. And the Catholic Church just calls that purification purgatory. But even Protestants who don't use the term can acknowledge, well, yeah, I do need to be purified before I'm ready to stand in God's presence. They may have the idea that that happens instantaneously, and it may, but we can both agree that it does happen, because even if we're still sinners by the end of this life, we won't be when we're in glory. Does that make sense?
Yes. In fact, I didn't know that y'all believe that way as far as, so you're saying if you repent of your sins before you die, then you go to
really complete
purgatory?
If you repent in a really complete and profound way, that the church typically understands most people don't. So most people need a little bit extra purification.
Okay.
How's that, Mickey?
Well, that was pretty good. That clarified some things,
Sure.
Okay.
Mickey,
okay.
Our colleague, Carlo Broussard, has written a book called Purgatory is for Real. And if you give the call screener your mailing address, I will send you a copy of it.
And we'd love to answer future questions for you, Mickey. Feel free to call in on any of our open forums.
Okay. Well, I do have one more question.
Go right ahead.
Answer it now.
What's that?
Just a quick one. Okay. The Eucharist, that's what you get at communion, right? The little bread. Okay.
The host.
Do y'all actually believe that that's Christ's body?
Yeah, well, he said it was. He said, take, eat, this is my body. If you read St. Paul in 1 Corinthians, he says that the bread which we eat, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? So it's not just a symbol, it's a participation in the body of Christ. And this is recognized actually by the great majority of Christians in the world, not just Catholics, but also Orthodox and Assyrians and Copts and even Anglicans and Lutherans. Will recognize, now they don't understand it exactly the same way that Catholics do all the time, but they do recognize this broader swath of Christians that Christ is really present in the Eucharist the way he said he was.
Okay.
All right, Mickey?
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. The show is Catholic Answers Live. I'm Chris Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett. My guest is Jimmy Akin, and we're taking calls this hour and the next hour from non-Catholics, non-Christians, non-believers, lapsed Catholics, perhaps. If there's anything standing in the way or something confusing that the Catholic Church teaches or does that you would like to have clarified, we're here to do that for you. Greg, we're going to take your question. And go ahead, Jimmy.
I was going to say, I just want to let folks know, we've got a number of lines open. So if you're not an active Catholic and you've got a question, this is a great time to call. Also, in just a minute or so, we're going to be going to a break. You're going to have a few minutes to get your question screened before the top of the hour. So this is a wonderful time for people to call. There are lines open for you. The number to call is 888-318-7884. Once again, 888-318-7884. 318-7884. And Greg will be taking your question on the other side of this break.
All right. Back after this.